Well, 40 years ago this month, the first cell phone debuted. A skeptical reporter was one of the first to try one.
I'm going to press this button here. Ringing.
Hello?
Is this Merle?
Yeah.
And we're demonstrating right now, Merle,
yeah,
a portable telephone, and you are making your television debut on the Eyewitness News show with your voice. Yes, you are.
Reporter John Johnson in New York. But that wasn't the first cell phone call. That was made earlier on a New York City street corner in front of an astonished crowd. And the call was made by its inventor. It was definitely a booyah, which the Urban Dictionary defines as an exclamation of joy. And take that to someone who's just been beaten. Martin Cooper made that call. He is the father of the cell phone. And he joins us on the line from his home in Del Mar, California. Marty Cooper, welcome.
It's a pleasure to be here, Robin.
And congratulations, because you've received so many awards over the years, but most recently the Marconi Prize. This is the top prize in communication and information science for helping to reshape and point the global telecommunications industry in a new direction. Have you ever gotten over that, the fact that you did that?
Yeah, well, that's the history. I only live for the future, Robin, not the past.
Isn't that interesting? Because you are still inventing. I want to hear about that. But take us back 40 years ago. You were a chief engineer at this upstart company, Motorola. You'd been working for years. What did you envision, and why? Why did you think it was important?
We thought it was important because we had been in the business of providing two-way radios first in World War II, and we discovered that people are fundamentally mobile. They're always going somewhere. They're never where they want to be, and yet, for over 100 years, we've been told that in order to talk to somebody at a distance, you have to be wired to the wall, tied to your desk, stuck in your home, and that just didn't make sense to us at all.
Well, car phones had been in limited use for decades when you were trying to figure this out. Take us through the technology and your aha moment.
The idea was to, instead of having a radio station in the middle of a city, so that you could only have one conversation on every radio channel. This really bright guy at Bell Laboratories figured out that why don't we divide the city up into lots of little stations, and then you could use the frequencies over and over again. And when people move from one station to another using computer technology, we keep following them. And that was the history. And Bell Laboratories, AT&T, decided that they were going to commercialize this. But they introduced a couple of problems. One is they said, we want to be a monopoly. And the second, they said, is our version of cellular communications is car telephones. Well, gee whiz, for over 100 years we've been stuck in our homes and offices. Now we're going to be trapped in our cars. That didn't make any sense. So we decided that we're going to battle AT&T. They were the biggest company in the world. We were a little company in Chicago, and we took them on. And the purpose of building that phone was to get attention. And the box we started out, we were really little. It was about the size of today's cell phone. But when the engineers start stuffing in hundreds of parts, it kept growing and growing. And it ended up being what people called the brick.
It's so funny looking now. I'm looking at a picture of you holding one. It's almost a foot long?
It was 10 inches, and it weighed 2.5 pounds. And the battery only lasted for 20 minutes. But, of course, that wasn't a problem because you couldn't hold that heavy thing up for more than 20 minutes.
And you had to charge it for 10 hours to get that battery recharged. It's just quite something.
That's exactly right.
So you finally got it, 10 years in the making, $100 million invested by Motorola into this mobile phone concept. You take it to New York. This is April 3rd, 1973, and you're demonstrating it first to people on the street. Tell us about that day.
It was a cloudy day, and I had to figure out who to call, and decided that wouldn't it be fun to talk to my counterpart at AT&T.
Wait. You're about to make the first phone call ever on a cell phone, and you just decide in that moment to call your arch enemy?
Well, don't ask me why. That was 40 years ago, but that's what I did. It was not planned at all, and it was amazing that Joel Engel, who is a really bright guy who's running that program, it was amazing that he even answered the phone.
What'd you say to him?
I said, hi, Joel, this is Marty Cooper. I'm calling you from a cell phone, but a real cell phone, a personal, handheld, portable cell phone. And there was silence at the other end of the line, and Joel must have been thinking it over. To this day, he doesn't remember that call, and I guess I don't blame him.
Yeah, well, because it pole vaulted you into history. By the way, just remind us why it's called a cell phone.
Well, that's because an engineer made this thing, not a marketing person. Each time you see an antenna in a city that is one of these radio stations, we engineers call that a cell, and today we're stuck with the name cell phones.
Yeah. What do you think when you look at the cell phone landscape now?
Oh, I think we are just getting started. We're still learning how to use these new tools. I think we're going to end up revolutionizing healthcare, education, and we're going to change the whole way people do business, and that's starting to happen. Meetings are extraordinarily inefficient. Just imagine a world where when you conduct business, you do it with groups of people who are everywhere, talking to each other almost continuously, no constraints of location or time. That collaboration is going to make us so much more efficient than we are today, and the next generation or so is just going to be incredible.
Well, you know there's some dissenters from that thinking. There are people who say that this technology is actually making us neurotic messes, that it's making us work harder than ever before because there's such a thin membrane between being at work and being at home because the technology goes home with you, and that there's a technology literacy gap, that wealthy companies with the technology are moving further and further away from poor companies that don't have it at all.
Well, I disagree with all of that. The poorest countries are getting the biggest benefits. I can't tell you how warm I feel when I hear about a poor woman in a village in India who manages to get a cell phone, and she rents the phone out, time on the phone, to the local farmers who can call the next village and find out where they can get the best price for their products. Hmm. And with regard to people working harder, that's baloney. They only work harder if they want to. Every phone is equipped with an on-off switch. They don't have to carry that thing with them. But the bottom line is that the phone is a tool. And if people use it as a tool, instead of becoming a slave to this thing, cell phones that we have today are really very awkward, but they're getting better and better. And pretty soon, the phone is going to be an extension of our mind, an extension of our body, and it's going to make our lives much easier.
Well, we want to ask you about that. That's Marty Cooper, father of the cell phone. Also something called Cooper's Law, that the voice and data transactions that can be conducted in all of the useful radio spectrum doubles every 30 months. And to those who say, well, we're going to run out of spectrum, space, he says no. The law demonstrates that engineers will continually create more space. But to his suggestion that it's going to be so much more a part of our life, is that a good thing? We'll ask him in a minute here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our conversation with Martin Cooper. Back in 1973, he invented that thing you probably have a modern version of, the cell phone. He says today's phones are too expensive. But, Marty, you were telling us about technological revolutions you see coming because of them in education, healthcare. What do you envision?
Just suppose that you could do a physical examination not every year, which people do and which is almost worthless, but every minute. Because you're connected and because we have devices that you can put on your body that measure virtually everything on your body, if you could be sensing your body all the time and anticipate a disease before it happens, the sensing is received by a computer, and this computer says, you are just about to be sick, and what you need to do is such and such. Take a pill, get some treatment, and before you ever get sick, before the disease ever happens, you stop it in the bud. Just if you extrapolate that thought, we are going to eliminate the concept of disease. And I think that's going to happen within the next generation or two.
You mentioned education as well. I'm reading in your The Verge interview that you did with The Verge magazine that when they asked you about what do you think about Apple putting textbooks on iPads, you said, well, it's a nice thought, but it isn't revolutionary. Why isn't it revolutionary?
Well, the revolution is not the mechanics of putting new features and new hardware. It's how people behave differently. So what's going to happen in education, I believe, and it's, by the way, it's started to happen already, is what they call the inverted classroom. People learn much better when they're out doing things. And our children were born with iPads and iPhones, and they can use them 24 hours a day wherever they are, and they're going to be learning all the time, and they'll go to school only to interact with teachers who can work on teaching them how to use the tools, teaching them how to think. But the actual learning of information is going to be out in the world. And that's what the profound change is, not just putting textbooks on a machine.
Yeah, you say if you want people to think out of the box, don't create a box. And as soon as you start saying, well, we're going to educate people differently by having textbooks on iPads and cell phones, then you've created the box.
Yeah. By the way, that's the only thing that I'm really proud of being famous for. I made the statement sitting in a meeting once, that the best way to get people to think out of the box is not to create the box in the first place. And that's the only quotation that I really did and nobody else said, Robin. I may sound optimistic, but if we don't blow ourselves up, this is going to be a really wonderful world.
I want to make sure we mention your wife, Arlene Harris, in her own right, a terrific inventor. And together, your latest business, have I got this right? It's a low-function phone for seniors. It's the Jitterbug. What is the Jitterbug?
Well, first of all, I got to tell you that Arlene is much smarter than I am and much more creative. But the Jitterbug is a phone that's designed for people who want simplicity, who want to use the phone as a tool, which is the way it should be used, and not be enveloped in all of these things that they have to learn. So the Jitterbug has all of the basic functions. But really simplified, for example, when you put the phone up to your ear, guess what? You hear a dial tone. Why a dial tone? Well, how do you know when you're with your cell phone whether you've got a signal or not? You have to look at the phone and you see bars. Now, what do bars mean? When you put a Jitterbug up to your ear and you hear that dial tone, you know you have a signal. When you push the O button, an operator answers.
No.
The operator knows who you are. So if this is your mother on the phone, she'll say, get Robin on the phone for me. And the next thing you know, there you are talking.
Meanwhile, what are you thinking? What are you liking right now? iPhone, Droid, Samsung?
Well, the future is not the hardware. It's software. We've already seen what we can do with hardware, and it's virtually everything.
Does this mean that you really, I mean, are you not finding any difference between the iPhone or the Droids, or is there one you like to use better than the other?
No, they're all converging, and I really, I just hate that. I hate the concept of trying to build a universal device that does all things for all people, because then it doesn't do any of them very well. And I think what is going to happen in the future is more customization, more personalization. We all are different, and we ought to be able to customize and to have a phone that does exactly what we want it to do, that is so easy to use that we don't even have to think about it. That's what the dream is. So the phone part, you know, what you and I are doing now, you will have a device either behind your ear, perhaps it'll be an earring, and maybe it'll even be embedded under your skin. And you can talk to it, and I could say, computer, get Robin on the phone. You want the Robin in New York or the one in Boston? The computer replies, and I say, get me the one in Boston. And next thing I know, you and I are talking. So this phone is almost an extension of our mind. And I think all of the other devices that we'll have on our body, the medical devices, the collaboration devices, each one is going to be optimum, and we won't even know they're there, but they will work.
Meanwhile, you know what I find so funny? That you are on a landline right now.
It is ironic. And not only that, I'm holding this phone up to my ear, and even though it doesn't weigh 2.5 pounds, it does get heavy after a while.
Well, then let's let you go. Martin Cooper, who invented the cell phone 40 years ago this month and is now co-founder and chair of the wireless company Dyna LLC in California. Martin, thank you so much for talking to us.
My great pleasure, Robin. Good luck to you.
So, do you thank Marty Cooper, blame him, or agree with him that it's our fault if we misuse the tool he invented, say, texting while driving? And how are you using the thing he invented, your cell phone? Let us know at hereandnow.org. By the way, tomorrow, Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg responds to critics and is cheered by supporters at our recent sit-down. We'll have that for you tomorrow. Still ahead today, incoming! They might be giants and all the energy they bring. Latest news is next, here and now.